Hi, my name is Jenny Lynn Patterson LaCour, and I am the founder and CEO of Jenny Lynn Fitness, home of Sweat. I've been an aquatic fitness instructor in NYC for the last 2 decades, and I'm currently working on launching my Sweat certificate program.
And I'm AJ Myers from Made by Myers. I specialize in podcast production, web design, branding, and business development. And you're listening to the Aquaholics Bootcamp.
We created this podcast to interview guests who inspire and motivate us within the aquatic fitness industry and beyond. Each episode, we'll chat with them about what they're working on professionally, as well as get to know them a little bit better personally.
So let's dive on in.
Joining us today from across the pond are two very special guests, Linda Keen and Haley Pittenham. They are co-owners of the UK-based Aquatic Rehabilitation and Exercise Academy, otherwise known as AREA, and have a combined total of over 45 years experience working in aquatic fitness.
With a degree in sports rehabilitation and injury prevention and a master's in soft tissue therapy, Linda works mainly with orthopedic and musculoskeletal clients and has a special interest in hypermobility. Likewise, Haley has worked in the health and fitness industry as a masseuse, personal trainer, a swim teacher, and an aquatic fitness instructor with a focus on pelvic care and pre-post natal work.
There's so much to talk about, and we cannot wait to dive in. So Linda, Haley, welcome to Aquaholics Bootcamp.
Thank you. Welcome. Welcome to you.
Hello.
Yes, thank you guys for joining us today. Where are you both calling from?
So we actually live half an hour away from each other, but Linda is closer to London and I'm more in the countryside.
And you're in the United Kingdom, of course.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I forgot to add that bit. Yeah, we're in the United Kingdom near London.
Nice. You know, in the introduction, we mentioned some of your previous experiences, but can you take us back and tell us a little bit about your backgrounds, how you found yourself becoming involved in aquatic fitness and what your education and training has been? And Linda, why don't we start with you?
I was going to say, I think we need to, because it definitely leads into Haley afterwards. well, the strange thing is my first incarnation was I was a French cuisine chef. Mm.
Don't get excited.
No. That was in the past. And then I had children, and I desperately wanted them to learn to swim. I thought it was absolutely no hesitation. One of the most important things in the entire growing up of a child is for a child to learn to swim. And I thought, well, I'll become a swimming teacher because it'll be cheaper. I was a single parent by then, and after the swimming lessons, there was an aquarobics class, and the instructor was always late, always. So I very flippantly said to the manager, oh, I'm fed up with this. I send me on a course, and I'll warm them up, and then when the instructor comes in, she can take over. Never, ever expecting to actually teach a class. So I did the course and literally fell in love with it right from sort of the word go. I just was desperate to teach it and to do it. I was already bitten by the bug as soon as I left that course. I then went on to teach and then lecture in it for sort of 21 years, really. And then I thought, right, I need medical knowledge now. So that was the next stage. I went and did the degree. And that was it then, master's. And now it's early doors of a PhD. So
wow,
I did get bitten by the bug really quite severely.
I love that. And Haley, mm-hmm. Where do you fit into this picture here?
So while she was becoming a swimming teacher and a swimming coach, I was the swimmer. Then from being the swimmer, I'm hypermobile. So I have hypermobility, and my left knee was at the time when I was a swimmer, I was a breaststroke swimmer, I didn't know that I had hypermobility. So I actually ended up getting injured a lot. Mm. And my dreams of being an Olympic swimmer wasn't ever going to happen. But I then went from being a swimmer to being the lifeguard on poolside, the swimming teacher, the assistant swimming teacher. And that then led me to being in the leisure centre for pretty much most jobs apart from the general manager. You know, I would be doing receptionist, lifeguard, swimming teacher, aqua aerobics instructor. And as Linda developed with the aqua aerobics, I would be taken to these conferences and exhibitions and seminars. And I remember being 14, standing in front of these women doing a presentation and thinking, I want to be a fitness instructor. I want to be there. I want to be presenting. I want to teach people. And I was 14 years old with everyone else around me not knowing what the hell they wanted to do when they left school, and me going, well, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to go and do X, Y, and Z. So I kind of knew from a very young age that I wanted to be in the fitness industry, which I completely, you know, thank Linda for being my mum and dragging me to those places. But I also, it gave me an aim very early on of what I wanted to do. Now, believe it or not, I went into a phase of wanting to do hydrotherapy when I was about 16, 17, when I realized that I loved the water more than I loved the land. And we went to the ATRI convention at the time. And something in one of those lectures made me kind of rejiggle my thought process of what I wanted to do as a job. But going there was immense because it really put a lot of ideas into my head about what I wanted to do. And I realized that I still wanted to be within the medical profession. I still wanted to be in the fitness profession. And so I then went on my own journey whilst Linda was going off and doing her own thing. I went off and did my own thing. So I did my land instructors, my personal trainers, my GP referral. And we would then every so often regroup. And I would always be referred to as, you know, Linda's daughter. And that I, you know, I am absolutely proud of, because look how far she's come and look what she's done. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. But I also had to find my own feet. I had to find my own voice. And so I ended up being land fitness and water fitness, but still teaching my classes, building up my classes, building up my knowledge. But we kind of knew that at some stage together is where we needed to be. And that's where we are now with Aerea.
Yeah.
Wow. So as the mother-daughter combination, the duo, how has that relationship influenced your teaching and your business?
I would say a lot. From my Yeah, because we banter off each other or with ideas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we will also be honest with each other. And if I'm going to get anyone to critique my work, it's her first, because she'll be there and she'll be like, no, that doesn't work. And then, you know, vice versa with her sending me stuff. She's like, what do you think? Do you think this will work? Though some of the stuff she puts in nowadays is a bit over my head. I then try and catch up, and we work really well together. There was a convention I remember us going to, and we had to present, but we were put on the spot to present, and we had to. Linda was up front, and I had to like do the work with her, and I can remember someone saying to me, you know, you two work really well together. I had no idea what move she was doing next, but because we're so in tune with each other, I was able to literally mimic and do the exact same moves milliseconds after she did them.
Wow.
And we pulled it off. Yeah. Do you remember that one?
I do.
Yeah.
I was also going to say that you're always my guinea pig, that I
oh my
bent your body God, yes. around and manipulated and you know, tried things out. So I'll always get an honest opinion, and it's always
yeah.
You have a perfect model per se as well, because when I see these pictures, and you know, Linda's in her moment and in her element of doing, you know, the therapy in the water, and then you see just Haley relaxed and like floating through the water and like so like stretchy. I know you're bendy flexy and you have that hypermobility, but it just the pictures that you get, and it looks like from what we've seen online, it's just it looks great. Everything looks like it's coming together so beautifully.
Yeah.
But that technique is a beautiful technique. So yeah, it's a great one to photograph. But I think the fact that I've been the guinea pig for so long, and she goes, "Oh, I've just discovered something. Come to the pool." And I'm like, half in my head going, "Oh my God, what now?"
Well, so you're co-founders of AREA, the Aquatic Rehabilitation Exercise Academy. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about where the idea began and where you're taking it now?
Okay, well, it's something that I've been sort of like brewing on and trying to sort of clear in my head, get definite sort of guidelines of what I wanted. But the one thing I think with being at university so much, and I also teach at the university, is that I suppose now ingrained in me is that if there isn't research to back it up, we shouldn't be using it.
Mm.
So I'm very much, you know, if we're going to go out and educate people, it's got to come from a place of science and it's got to come from a place of fact. The physiology of immersion, you know, that we all know that's been sort of proven and everything. So that comes from a good place. So we all know that, we all understand it. So this is partly why I wanted everything to have the backing behind it of the evidence of the science and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was Hayley's age, when I was younger, I liked working with the elites as well. I liked all the fitness side. I went and I sort of lectured at some of the football teams in the UK on aquatic fitness. I went and did that until I started getting a little bit older, started going a bit more down the rehab route. And as I've got older, obviously it's taken me a lot further down that route. So I came from an area, you know, the degree was sports rehabilitation, injury prevention. I come from a place of sport and from the elite. And now I've come into more working at the hospital with the orthopedic conditions. The hospital specializes in spinal surgery. So I get to see a lot of people with spinal injuries. So, of course, that's not really the sporting world. But I just love the fact of trying to marry the two together, because over here, it's very much, you know, oh, you're not a physiotherapist. Well, you can't do that. You can't do this. But I thought, well, we've got so much knowledge on the sort of fitness side of things that don't disregard that. And the amount of times that you'll see people who've come purely down the therapy route that actually don't understand the water. So it's understanding the water, understanding what happens to the human body in the water, I think then makes for very good sort of treatments as well. So, I mean, that was where the initial sort of part of things came through. And of course, with Hayley, with her youth and her fitness and her strength, she can carry on carrying the sort of like flag for the fitness side of things. But also, she's become such a specialist in pre and postnatal and the pelvic floor. And of course, bridges both sides. That bridges therapy and it bridges, you know, the fitness side. Because one of my sayings is you only know what a pelvic floor is when it was. You know, we're not taught about it at school. I mean, mm-hmm. It's only when you've got issues that people suddenly start saying, well, you know, you need to look after your pelvic floor. And have you been doing exercises? Mm-hmm. You know, well, what the hell's that? So, you know, So I think it's just this marrying of everything together, which I think is so important. And it's how the industry, I believe, needs to go.
Yeah.
And especially with COVID, you know, I think the fitness industry is absolutely sits side by side with the medical industry with this pandemic, because people, when they come out of lockdown, and we've actually had a program on telly that's been talking about, you know, what's happening with people coming out of lockdown and the lack of fitness and the comorbidities that they got through just 4 months. So I think the fitness industry actually should be sitting side by side with the medical industry, because the world needs us desperately.
Absolutely. There's actual scientific, factually based research behind aquatic fitness. And because your academy highlights and shares that, I think that's so important. And I hope that, you know, you can inspire worldwide that desire to learn more and to educate and share that knowledge, because you're absolutely right. The medical and fitness industry need to merge better and work together. And not just for rehabilitation because of post-injury or you know, post-surgery, but prior to as well, as a prevention, yeah. As a preventative measure.
And pre-events as well. If someone has a sports event like a marathon, you know, we've got the London Marathon here, and it'd be amazing to get some of those runners running in the pool before they started running on land, or even doing some of their training in the pool and running before. So there's a lot that I think could marry up very well, but I would hope that people take a bit more respect for the water. But yeah, we're still on that battle.
I think you've already touched on it as we've been talking about area, but there are, just correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a focus of three different pillars: the aqua stretch, the aqua natal, and aqua therapy. Are those like the three pillars right now of area?
Yeah.
Right now we have them. We also have Introduction to Aquatic Therapy is going to be our, Linda's, not, but it's going to be Area's next big release. But what we also have been doing over lockdown is I have been rewriting I have put so much time into the aquanatal course to make it an online course. So it's going to be becoming an online program. And the follow-on from there would be all the pelvic care work. And Linda's doing a similar setup with the Introduction to Aquatic Therapy. And there will be add-ons that will come on from that as well. So we've been busy writing up this education, preparing it, ready for this big launch.
You're being productive during this time, that's for sure. I know from the interview that you and I had, I was beyond impressed to hear all the stuff, because I know we talked for quite a while, and all the stuff that you've been working
on.
About that. No, it was fantastic, because, well, and I've told other instructors this, because I've had, you know, a lot of different mothers in my pool, and I've trained women both prior to pregnancy, during pregnancy, and after. And, you know, there's only so much research out there, but I, as you know, come to you and I ask you these questions, and I'm like, what, okay, before I work with this woman, these are the things, what should I do? And you just have, I mean, your messages back are just like a chapter. It's amazing because then I sit there and I'll print that out and actually like go through and read it and highlight it. And like, I can help so many different women from that, you know, from that information. It's not just specific on one person. You're like, okay, if it's this scenario, approach it here. If it's this scenario, and I'm like, I cannot wait to take this online program. I can't. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about it. And it's going to be separated into two. You're going to have a prenatal section and a postnatal section. Mm-hmm. So they're two separate courses. And well, I can't, I don't want to give too much away, but there is so much content there that Linda still hasn't finished giving it the okay.
I'm nearly there.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Linda.
Yeah. I know.
Like I said, she critiques the work.
Yeah,
gosh. Five folders just on one section. Yeah. So, and to be honest, I'm still adding little tidbits here and there, and I want it to be ready. But I'm also excited about what I'm able to deliver afterwards. So, I believe in the fact that the pelvic floor is a really underestimated muscle. I also look at the pelvis and how the pelvis is. So I actually have a add-on after you've done the pre and postnatal, or if you wanted to just do the pelvis work separately. And I've got a workshop that's called Pool Floor to Pelvic Floor.
Mm.
And it connects the fact that, you know, one in three women and I can't remember the statistics off the top of my head right now, but men, I want to say one in 10, but don't quote me on that. I think it's one in three women and one in 10 men suffer with pelvic floor dysfunction in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And pelvic floor dysfunction doesn't just mean the pelvic floor. There is so much other stuff going on, and the chain that responds throughout the entire body can affect even all the way up to the jaw. So I want to be able to help these people who in the water, it's not noticeable whether they're having an oops, little, you know, sneezy peasy type moment.
But, love it.
You know,
I'm writing that down. I'm writing this down right now.
But, you know, but, they go and they go out the water and they go and, you know, go meet up with their friends and they laugh too much and that's when they have a little incident. But the work that I do with my classes, my therapy classes, my general classes, I do specific pelvic floor sections within my class as well. Not all the time, but especially if I'm doing my therapy class, I do it every single session. My therapy class have it. And one of my ladies said to me, I remember it being like 2 months. She said to me, I want you to know that I went on a trampoline and I done 4 minutes, but I was out of breath. So I came off and I said, if you can do 4 minutes, because we've been working on your pelvic floor, I am absolutely thrilled. And next week you can do 5 minutes, but you know, that's an amazing improvement. And, yeah, the kind of, I'm not here to, you know, make people do it. I want to help people to understand why they should do it. Mm-hmm. Because when people understand why they should do it, they're more likely to do it. If you just go and get told by the nurse, oh, you've got to do your pelvic floor muscles, they're like, oh yeah, I did a bit and then I forgot. Like the amount of postnatal mums that say, yeah, I'm too busy to do my pelvic floor work. I'm like, no, this is really important. This is really important. Let me explain to you why this is really important. Mm-hmm. And then the aging process and the menopause process of the body, you know, that then has an effect on that older generation. And that older generation is the majority of our daytime aqua classes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, if you take into account that the body starts aging, the aging process, and then you've got the menopause and the way that the aging process then obviously is intensified, they then come into, they come to the classes in the daytime because that's when they're, you know, more suited to come, mm-hmm. whether it be the 55 plus class or whatever. And they are ideal to help support them and stop them from becoming those incontinence issues or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I hate the fact that we have all these adverts for special underwear.
Tenor ladies.
For
yeah.
Tenor ladies. Like we've got Tenor ladies and we've got Always, and they've now got them so much so, but mm-hmm. they've got, they, you know, they make them pretty with little flowers on them and they say, oh, I feel so comfortable in my sexy tenor ladies, but you yeah, know no. they're not sexy and and they shouldn't be normalized because we need to work on strengthening and helping and getting this function, you know, to work rather than mm-hmm. just relying on a pad in your panties.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy you said that because I've been watching these commercials for these new lines of underwear and undergarments for women. And although I understand there's probably special circumstances or a surgery or something in which maybe that's necessary for a brief period of time, but to use that as a quote unquote band-aid for something that you could easily and very quickly, you know, take care of with exercises and understanding your body and understanding the pelvic floor. Like they're very easy fixes, but it's just this mentality of, I just don't have the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those companies are making millions. Mm. And I understand when you get to an age of maybe, you know, 90, where the body actually can't function and the body is actually switching off, because that's what I suppose in the older days used to happen. It just, you know, it was more for that. But now they've made them sexy and they've advertised for the postnatal lady. They're becoming more normal, and I would rather them get help. But, you know, I've spoken about it before, but I had abdominal surgery July last year. And I woke up from surgery. I know what I'm doing. So I woke up from surgery and within an hour was doing breathing exercises to start waking up and start getting those muscles in my abdominals to start switching on again. And I'm still with stitches and all the rest of it. But I got given a leaflet. Now, we've got the NHS in England, and it's amazing. The NHS is amazing, and we have the heroes to thank massively during this COVID scenario. But the leaflet that I got given from the NHS about how to work my abdominals and my pelvic floor was so poor in what its information gave. It gave a few really key and up-to-date points, but it gave very small amount of exercise, you know, a really small amount of exercises to do. And I thought, how many women, you know, get given that on a day-to-day basis who are having surgery, whether it be abdominal, whether it be have a baby, but it's the same thing because it's the gynecological leaflet. Okay, so whether you've had a baby, whether you've had a C-section, and et cetera, et cetera. And the information on there is so small and poor. Mm. So that's what they get. They get that. What woman who's just had a baby is going to sit there, read it, and then go, oh, yeah, on my day-to-day basis, I need to do that. Not very many.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
No, it comes with the education, as you said, and kind of spreading that awareness, but also then working with the medical industry, perhaps, you know, putting together your own pamphlet that can go home with people post-surgery. Some of the other issues that you guys deal with regularly, and Linda, this might be a question for you, issues in the tissues, lockdown bodies. Why don't we talk a little bit about that?
So, yeah, I've become absolutely obsessed, I think is the right word, with fascia and the connective tissue, especially since sort of doing the aqua stretch stuff and everything. And so we've been on lots of courses, both Hayley and I, independently and together, because, of course, as you've realised, everything I do, poor Hayley gets dragged along and involved as well. So it's like, this is what you need to learn. This is what you need to know. We need to understand about fascia. So when we went back into the pool, it was sort of like feeling these people and they just, their hips were locked. They just weren't moving. They needed freeing up so much. And you could just sort of, I don't know, the hip flexors were locked. They needed to move. They needed to be able to move around. And it's just getting them to get in that water and be like seaweed, really. Allow the bodies to sort of unravel from that immobility or just walking. We're moving beings.
And melting into the water is a really nice, yeah. Just allowing the body to just be relaxed.
Just to be. I mean, because it's one of the things I always say to my clients is when you go and you get a tin out of the cupboard, you know, most of the food is stored on the top cupboards, not on the ones underneath the sink. They're generally in the top cupboards above the sinks type thing. And you go to get a tin out, but you don't stand absolutely in front of that cupboard. Put both hands around that tin, bring it down in both hands and squat beautifully while you place it on the worktop. That doesn't happen. You know, what we do is we reach up with one hand, you know, the other leg lifts off the floor. So we go in this complete diagonal. So, and this goes along with the anatomy trains and the anatomy lines and the fascial lines of the connectivity throughout the whole body. So I just found that sort of with people that they came back from lockdown, they've been watching so much telly. I mean, even myself, you know, before lockdown, I wouldn't get home from work till about 9 o'clock at night. But I found that we were sitting down for dinner at 6 o'clock in the evening and then basically didn't get up until bedtime. You know, we'd then sort of like have our dinners and then go and sit on the sofa, watch the telly. So we were just in that seated position, in that sort of locked down, locked up body position. And when you get to the pool, you take away that gravity that we've all been sort of oppressed by, especially us water people, and sort of, you know, everything just was rigid, everything was tight, everything was stiff, no matter how much people had been sort of moving on the land, unless they were sort of, I don't know, imitating a worm or something like that. but they wouldn't have been sort of moving around in those sort of same planes and all those different movements that the human body needs. And that's the way that we work. We are basically asymmetrical in movement. So so I think, you know, lockdown bodies was a good way to describe. Everybody was tight. Everybody needed that loosening. Everybody needed that, I suppose, that feeling of freedom, because we've all felt like a form of prison.
I was going to say, it's the COVA coaster, isn't it? The COVID coaster, where everyone's talking about it being a bit of a roller coaster during COVID. Yeah. One day you're happy and you're making cupcakes and gardening, and the next day you just want to cry and sit on the sofa and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I mean, we've all been locked down, and it's no wonder that our bodies are reacting to it.
We're locked down and it's locked up.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it. Well, on that note, I guess, what would be a piece of advice for each of you would give to someone who's listening to this right now? Maybe get up, walk around. but what would be a piece of advice that you'd give to someone who, you know, who may not be able to come to one of your classes per se, but something they can do at home right now to improve themselves?
I think for me, it would be, you know, think and be like a child. It's definitely to move around, but, you know, observe how young children move. Even if you stand in your sitting room and swing your arms around your waist, you know, from sort of side to side, like you're a propeller or something, and, you know, make windmills and things and sort of pretend you're using a hula hoop. It's move, you know, ankle circles with rotational beings. We need that rotational movement. So
I always say to my customers as well, you want your ankles to be as flexible as when you were 14. So you want that movement, you want that freedom within those joints, because when those joints start stiffening up, that's when the body aches more in other areas. And the most you know, freeing movement, as Linda was saying, is, you know, children, they just let themselves go.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
and scream.
Yes, I love it. I love it. It's so funny you said that, Linda, because my vocal coach, or I should say our vocal coach, Chris and I both go to a vocal teacher, and she talks about being like a child with your voice. When you hear children, they are just making different sounds, and just the freedom of not just, you know, the voice, but the movement in their bodies and the limberness. And there's a reason it's called child's pose when you're in yoga and things like that. You know, it's a good comparison to make for the body.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, as well, as they age, they kind of go a bit more, I don't want to say stiff in their actions, but they don't allow themselves to just let go.
Mm-hmm.
It's that responsible grown up bit, isn't it? We become that responsible grown up, and, you know, act your age type thing.
Well, it's true. I remember being told, my grandmother used to say to me all the time, sit up straight and stop fidgeting, stop moving. Yeah. Just sit still. And then it's like, okay, I did that. And now my legs, my back, my everything is messed up. Thanks, Grandma.
Well, I just thinking about what Hayley said, actually, about the mobility in the ankles. I mean, it's so true about that as well, because if your ankles, if you can't sort of like flex and extend the ankle, especially when you're walking, then the movement, because we have a set pattern and a set size step that we take habitually, you know, once we've become an adult, it doesn't really change that length of stride. But if your ankles become locked and they become less mobile, you'll still want to take that same size step, But what will happen is the pelvis will tilt to allow that step to happen if it won't happen in the ankles. And of course, if your pelvis tilts, then you're going to be sort of compressing the lumbar spine, and then you're going to end up with lower back pain. So it's going to just sort of ricochet right the way up the body. So the more we can stay mobile, the more we can keep those joints sort of like fluid and moving, the mm-hmm. chance we have of having a sort of more pain-free older age.
Yes. See, this is why I love getting this, almost like just this confirmation of the things that I've been doing with some of my aging, or as I call them, my active agers, mm-hmm. because I really, for myself as a trainer, I think I've just started to do from the ground up, starting with the feet, the ankles, the knees, the hips, the pelvis, going mm-hmm. up the chain, because I've learned from the extensive foot problems I have bunions on both sides, and it very much compromises the way I want to shift my weight. But I also know exactly, like, I don't know it the way Linda knows it, but, or the way that Haley knows it, but I understand that, you know, if my foot can't move a certain way, then that makes my ankle move a different way, then my knee shifts, then the hip and the pelvis and this whole, and you can feel it if you pay attention. You can,
and guess what? After all that, that affects your pelvis, which also affects your pelvic floor.
See, you just got it. We have to stay on this. We have to stay on the mobility and keeping ourselves moving. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. From this point, I guess, I know there's so much going on and you're building so much amazing content. Where do each of you, I guess, and collectively see yourself taking your career within aquatic fitness? It sounds like it's just forever and this is a lifetime of a commitment.
It is, actually.
It is.
definitely for me, I want to leave a legacy. I'm a firm believer. I've come from, my father was a scientist as well. So I've come from that sort of background. And I'm a firm believer, you can't take it with you. You know, what is the point of me doing all this education, learning all this stuff, if I've got nobody to leave it to? So, you know, Haley will get it, and, you know, the courses and everything like that. So for me personally, it's to leave everything in a good situation that future generations, future instructors can learn and can sort of have a good sort of baseline of where they want to take their careers as well. Because if mm-hmm. If I take it in the box with me, then it's been a waste. That's my thing.
I think you've already done a pretty good job. You have definitely already, not that you've left or anything, but you have left a legacy as it is, because you've built and created and done so much, and you haven't stopped.
She's only just started, really.
Exactly. Exactly. It's amazing.
I can't wait. The PhD thing is very, very exciting. I'm so, so excited on all of that, because
I guess who's going to be the dummy?
Well, I wouldn't call you a dummy, but, you know, call yourself what you like. We've already done some of it. Unfortunately, we're just in the beginning of some really, really exciting research on fascia, which hopefully will be launched next year. I'll make sure that, you know, Hayley lets you guys know about it. And Hayley and I were in the pool sort of scanning and looking at the body and everything. And it's what we discovered was very, very exciting. That's really nasty tease, isn't it?
It is.
So Linda has this scanner, and we're scanning what's going on in the body whilst I'm in the swimming pool. And one of the things that happened was that she basically wrote all over my body, on my legs, in pen. But first of all, the pen didn't work. So then she got a Sharpie. So I had permanent marker on my legs, like these big squares all over my legs, thinking, oh my God, how am I going to explain this one to my husband? Because obviously I just leave him going, oh, I'm going to meet my mum at the pool. And he's like, okay, see you later. And then I come back with all these squares all over my legs. But because of where we have to position them and the way that we have to do it, and the water, thank God, rubbed the lines off.
That's like a good artwork piece right there.
Right, squares everywhere, yeah.
You're always getting drawn on, actually, because when you came to university with me, you got drawn all over as well, didn't you?
You're a guinea pig.
Honestly, guinea pig, definitely.
Yeah.
I love it. That's so cute.
Everybody needs a pet.
No,
this is true.
Well, as we're rounding down here, I would love to know, because of you guys are such great educators and motivators, what advice you would give to people, either instructors who are currently teaching or people who want to become instructors, maybe even a tutor for area. What advice would you give to them?
I think, reach out. I mean, anybody that's in this industry, I think, that, you know, teaches, that presents or anything, we're still human beings and we do love to share. I think it's one thing about the aquatic industry. We love to share our knowledge. We love to share information. So I think anybody coming in, reach out to the instructors. And if you do by any chance get sort of, you know, what somebody's too busy, then look for the next person. You know, Hayley and I will always answer emails. And in fact, if I miss one because I'm in the pool so much, Hayley will send me a personal message saying, have you seen this, Mum? You know, can you answer this lady? So she will keep on top of me.
That's good.
So I it is reach out because we do love to share and, you know, we're not precious about it. And spend time with another instructor. I think
that's something that is something that's a big one. When we were tutoring just the basic course, we would tell people to get in the pool and experience as many classes as you can. And one of Linda's sayings is you've got to experience the good and you've got to experience the bad to understand what is good and what is bad. And you have to almost be able to feel what you're expecting your participants to do. So, you know, there's no point trying a move out on them without you trying the move out yourself. Mm-hmm. However, saying that, sometimes I try out a move and I'm like, oh, I love it. And then I give it to my customers and they're like, are you trying to kill us? So, you know, apparently I'm a lot stronger than I think sometimes. But but with that, it's go and experience and try as many different classes as you can to also find out the different types, styles and enjoyments that you have in that pool.
Mm-hmm.
Find your thing, because you might go and sit there and think, oh, I love the way that person teaches, and try and teach like them, but you're not them, so it's not going to come across the same. So you've got to find who you are and then just be the best you that you can be. And enjoy it, because people notice when you enjoy doing something. They see the passion in your eyes. They hear it in your voice.
Definitely.
So, you know, it's that find the perfect fit for you.
One of the things I was going to say, actually, with the difference in your character and being you, I teach a therapy class, an aquatherapy class. This particular therapy class has Linda to cover if I'm not there. And we have similar things that we're working on because we both work in fascia, but you've got to remember we both have slightly different things that we also add in ourselves individually. And that's what one of my aqualadies told me. She said, you and your mother are so similar and yet so different at the same time. And so that's because we bring in our own personality to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As you said, being a mentor is so important. Where can people find you guys online? I know that you have your own podcast, which we want people to be able to find on YouTube. But where else can people reach out to you?
Yeah, so we are on Instagram and we are on Facebook. We are also posting on LinkedIn for those managers and owners that would like to get in touch with us on that side of things. And we are obviously on YouTube with videos with the interviews that we are doing as well.
That's wonderful. And we will share the links in our show notes and on the blog post.
Yeah, please just get in touch or like and follow.
Yes.
The website should be ready soon, shouldn't it?
The website is having a facelift ready. Ooh. For all this education to be uploaded onto a membership portal. So nice. The the website is going through different stages, and that should be launched soon, ready for the next stage, which is the education being put on.
Yeah.
Online education. I love that. Well, we're so excited. Thank you both for joining us for this. This was such a wonderful conversation.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll see you guys hopefully next year at IAFC.
Fingers crossed. We're hoping. Yeah. Hoping.
I'm hoping so.
Thank you so much for your time and for all of the information. And this has been such a great episode. So much knowledge and experience being shared.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Yeah.
We'll chat soon.
Yeah.
Take care.
See you later, guys.
Bye.
Take
care.
For more content like this, go to jennylynnfitness.com/podcast.
And please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your audio content.
Thank you so much for listening, and stay hydrated.